The following is a CA original.
Pouncer, the Palm Squad. Pre- and post-game parties on Beale Street. It's all part of the Memphis Tigers basketball game day experience. This is the Tiger Basketball Podcast.
What's happening, Tiger basketball fans? We are back for another edition of the Tiger Basketball Podcast. I'm Mark Giannato, Commercial Appeal sports columnist. I'm joined, as always, by Jason Munns, our Tiger basketball beat writer at the Commercial Appeal. We are coming to you on the heels of another Tiger victory, a comfortable one over North Alabama at FedEx Forum Wednesday night. Tigers have gone 3-1 since we last joined you on the podcast. And now sit at 5-2, heading into a nice little matchup with Ole Miss at FedEx Forum Saturday night. Ole Miss sitting at 6-1. So we'll recap the week that was, what Memphis did down in Orlando, going 2-1 and winning their last two at the ESPN Invitational. And then what happened at FedEx Forum at the North Alabama game to a certain extent, what we could glean out of it, and then get you ready for that big matchup at FedEx Forum against Ole Miss. Jason, let's start here. Came out 3-1 from the week. It wasn't a, you know, it wasn't like some sort of, I don't know if it was possible to have like kind of a landmark landmark showing, I guess, at that Orlando event, just the, you know, given there wasn't some marquee team you could take down there. But considering the circumstances of you lose an absolute heartbreaker in the first game against Seton Hall, watching Tyrese Samuel bank in a three-pointer at the buzzer to beat you, rebounding with two, I'd say convincing wins over Nebraska and Stanford, and then following it up with a comfortable win over North Alabama. Pretty good response for this team. How do you have them pegged now after we've seen these four games play out over the last week or so?
Well, I mean, this is a resilient bunch. In most, you know, probably last season and the season before, and maybe even the season before that, you take a gut punch the way they did against Siena. I mean, where it wasn't just.
You mean against Seton Hall?
Yeah, sorry, Seton Hall. It wasn't just, you know, a buzzer beater, right? It was a buzzer beater that came after, you know, at the very least, a few things that you can very clearly point toward and say, if not for that, we're probably walking out of here with a win. We're probably, playing in a better situation. We're not having to turn around and play Nebraska the very next day. We're probably playing a better team. And then potentially playing Oklahoma on the last day. You know, like there are very tangible things you can point to and say, well, if it hadn't been for that, then things would probably be different. And I think that's harder to stomach, right? Like when you can very easily and tangibly say, what if? You know, it wasn't just that you went out there and got beat. There was a couple of things that happened where you kind of beat yourself. And I think that's tough to recover from. And yet Memphis did it. Like, there was nothing left to play for, honestly, other than, you know.
What do you mean? It's early in the season. They can say all they want. They went down there to win the tournament. And you'd obviously love to win the tournament more than that. But at the beginning of the season, losing to Nebraska would have been far more disastrous than how they lost to Seton Hall. Like, Seton Hall is going to be remembered as like a decent loss. I think that Nebraska loss, they're picked to finish last in the Big Ten. That would have been a bad thing to have on your resume.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. You're extolling the virtues of Seton Hall, who lost to Siena on the last day. Siena, who's ranked 203 at KenPom. I mean, like, you know, I, 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 I don't disagree with you that you're playing to not fall any further back. Like, you know, you're playing to not dig the hole any deeper. And so in that way, yes, there was something to play for. But by and large, beating Nebraska is not going to do much for you. I mean, losing is not going to hurt you big time, but beating them is not going to do anything major for you. And the same goes for Stanford, although Stanford's at least they're looking a little bit better than Nebraska, but, you know,
they were picked fifth in the Pac-12 this year. But they have not beaten any, they have really not beaten anyone of consequence yet this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they'll have their chances and they'll probably sneak up on somebody and get a win. Cause they, I mean, look, they're very, very big. Pretty much across the board. Harrison Ingram is the reigning Pac-12 player of the year, a young man who was recruited by Memphis, who's got Memphis ties. I believe his father is from Memphis. You know, he's legit. Like, he's good. He's going to be a very good player in his second year there. So I do expect Stanford to you know, be a competent Pac-12 team this season. But beating them isn't as good as it would have been, say, had you been able to play against Oklahoma and beat them. I mean, we all thought going into this tournament that it was going to be a chance for Memphis to really make some noise. And as it turns out, Florida State is terrible. You know, Stanford hasn't quite gotten back to what Stanford can be. So yeah, it just
Stanford's one of those places struggling in the NIL era and the transfer portal era, you know, with recruiting and retention and, you know, it's hard to get transfers into Stanford, a place like Stanford. It's harder, I should say, to get someone in to a place like Stanford in the transfer via transfer. But I don't think either of these wins are going to none of the wins Memphis got over the last week are going to, I think, be used when you're like, come February, come March, when we're talking about Memphis's resume, we're not going to go, they've got wins over Stanford and Nebraska and a close loss to Seton Hall. You know, like, yeah. I think these games are going to frankly be probably neither here nor there. But they did come out with a 2-1 record, which is what you were, you know, that was acceptable. And they've set themselves up because there's, you know, the schedule now starts to heat up a little bit with these four SEC games. You know, I think they've put themselves in a spot after starting 5-2 where, you know, if you can go 2-2 or better against, you know, Ole Miss, starting with Ole Miss Saturday, Auburn in Atlanta, at Alabama, Texas A&M at home, if you can grab two of those games or more, I think you'll be, you know, if you grab more than two, I think you feel really good about where you are. But I think even if you just, let's say you just win the home games, beat Ole Miss or beat A&M, you know, I think you still feel like pretty decent about yourself going into conference play.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think they're probably going to be favored in those two games and they'll be underdogs against Auburn and Alabama? But that on the neutral floor, Auburn is, they've got some flaws. You know what I mean? Like, you catch them on the right day and it's certainly no gimme for those Tigers. But no, going back to the Orlando tournament, like, you know, even though, again, they were fighting to avoid disaster more than they were like trying to win and trying to play for something tangible. It was that intangible thing that they really showed me was that, again, like, they could have packed it in. They could have said, well, forget this. We came here to win the tournament. We're not going to win the tournament. We're not even like, the best we can do is fifth place in that weird setup that they have with those types of tournaments. Even though they went 2-1 and Siena went 1-2, or Seton Hall went 1-2 and somehow they finished ahead of Memphis in those standings. But no, like, it's the intangible thing. Like, they could have just said, forget it. You know, like, let's get home. I mean, that environment after the Seton Hall game, which was a really, really good environment on a neutral floor, and a very, very hard fought game. They turn around and have to play at 10 a.m. on getaway day in a gym where it's very quiet. Like, Stanford didn't bring anybody. And Memphis, you know, Memphis brought people and they were loud, but like, still, it was just like maybe what, 500-ish, maybe 300-ish Memphis fans. And so like, it's hard to get up for a game like that, but they did. And that is what, that's my point. It's just, they took a punch and were resilient enough and, you know, aware enough of the bigger picture that they gave it, you know, they gave it their all. Like, they weren't just sort of halfway going through the motions. They stayed in the fight, and I think that's pretty commendable.
Yeah, no, and I think as you look at it, that Seton Hall game, we saw very clearly DeAndre Williams didn't play very much, got in foul trouble, only played 10 minutes. And what's become very obvious for this Memphis team is they need everything they can get. They got to squeeze a lot out of Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams to be successful. And when one of those guys isn't playing, they're going to have a much harder time being successful. Frankly, you know, like, in some ways, this whole season feels a little fragile in the sense that one of those guys goes down for a sizable amount of time. Like, it's just going to be, you know, that's a game changer. You know, it changes the entire trajectory of your season. And if those two guys are healthy, you know, like, you're a pretty good outfit. I think you're going to be an NCAA tournament team, because we've seen, you know, they played a bad defensive game against St. Louis, but otherwise, they've been a real good defensive team. While they don't shoot three-pointers well, they've been a fairly efficient offense. I know people are like, it's a struggle, you know, it can be pulling teeth sometimes. They got a top 50 efficiency offense in the country right now. They don't turn the ball over as nearly as much as other Penny Hardaway teams do. You know, frankly, I think if you look at the numbers right now, and maybe this is a little influenced by the fact that DeAndre missed so much time in one of their games this season, one of their seven games, but like, I think his usage rate needs to go up. He's taken, you know, 21.5% of possessions they've had this year, and with him with the ball in his hand, either shooting or whatever, turning the ball over, you know, he takes 22.6% of the shots. Kendrick is number one at 30. But if you look at percentage of possessions that end with the ball in his hands, Malcolm Dandridge has a higher possession number than DeAndre Williams right now. And Keontae Kennedy has a higher shot percentage than DeAndre Williams right now. If you can truly get him a little higher as the second most used player on the team, given his efficiency numbers right now, I think you can boost the offense a little bit. I'm not saying it's going to be drastically different, but I look at the numbers here and I go, they're playing pretty well, and I think there's a little more DeAndre Williams can do. Even though he's played pretty well this year, I think he can be a little more selfish, if that makes sense. And so I just think this is a team that's going to play a lot of close-ish games, no matter who they're playing against, whether they're playing against a team you view as inferior or a team you view as superior, because there's not a ton of offense on this team, but there's a lot of experience and a lot of guys who are just just tough, it feels like, and old, and like, you know, have a, you know, and that can, I think having that with the combination of two elite, you know, two guys, an inside outside combo, and Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, or I should say DeAndre Williams and Kendrick Davis, since it's inside out. Like, I think that's enough to carry you a pretty good way this season. And to, you know, maybe knock off, as you mentioned, Auburn on a neutral site and really put yourself in position to have a strong season. I've seen nothing so far this year that dissuades me from thinking this is an NCAA tournament team, even though they don't have a great win on their resume yet. So I thought, you know, they did what they needed to do in Orlando, and they've done what they've needed to do up to this point in the season. And, you know, ultimately, you know, I don't think you really, you know, should be, there should be no reason to be disappointed in that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't you think this is right that it feels like the majority of the criticism, like there's a lot of nitpicking going on here early in the season. You got a 6-point loss on the road against what seems to be a pretty good St. Louis team. And you got a 1-point loss on a very low percentage shot at the buzzer against the Seton Hall team that we'll see. Like, the jury's still out on them, but they're not trash by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think. It's certainly not North Alabama. So it feels like the criticism that, you know, is flying around so far this season is a little bit on the nitpicky side. And, you know, not to discount the criticism. I mean, I think people are kind of like, you know, they say that I've seen people say that, like, this team isn't necessarily fun to watch. Or
I disagree with that. I like watching them play.
which side more, offense or defense?
Both. I like that they play together and they know who they are. Everyone knows their role. You know, yeah, are they imperfect? Do they miss shots? Yeah. But they play really hard. They play together. And like, I find them really fun to root for. This whole like angle of all, they have all these transfers who've never been to the NCAA tournament. And I think you see that out on the court. They play like a bunch of old dudes who are, you know this is like their last chance to make the tournament. And, you know, I think Kendrick Davis, watching him operate at such a high level, I mean, come on. I think they're a really fun team to watch, actually. Like, not in like the traditional like high flying dunks, although Keontae Kennedy had one of those the other day, but yeah, just in the sense of like, I like watching fluid together basketball. I like watching teams that, again, know who they are and play to those strengths. And I see a lot of that in this group.
But you can recognize that there are people out there who are, you know, sort of complaining about, that's one of the things they're complaining about is that it's ugly and whatever. And like,
hey, I don't find it ugly. And well, I would say this. No, I don't agree with them. I would say to people like that, it's like, you know what? Like, this is the best way this team can win. I want to see this team play the best way it can to win games. If it was trying to run up and down the court, they wouldn't win games. I want to see a team that is playing the way that is the best way to win games. And that's what I think we're seeing from this team so far.
Yeah, no, like, and I agree with you. I'm not saying that we should agree with. I'm just pointing out that there.
No, you're giving the devil's advocate side of it, and I would just say I find that sort of line of thinking to be like, I reject it. I reject it as like, I reject its like, not even. I kind of reject its. I'm trying to think of the right word here. You know, that it's a valid complaint to have.
Right. And I agree with you. But you know, and that's what I'm trying to say is that I think as the season goes along and they contend, like, you know, yeah, they're going to lose some games here and there, but by the end of the year, they're going to be in that they appear on the certain, like, so far, it seems like they're going to be in a good position come the end of the year. And that's what I think people are kind of like, you know, maybe a little bit kind of, they want the instant gratification. They like, while we wait on a second straight NCAA tournament berth, we at least want to see some exciting stuff on the court. And obviously you want to win, that's the end of it. But like, if you, whatever, it doesn't matter.
That's, yeah. Well, Jason, I'm going to be honest. I've been pretty excited about what I've seen from Alex Lomax the last three games. I've been pretty excited about what I've seen from Chandler Lawson during this recent stretch. I've been, you know, pretty excited from some of the flashes Keontae Kennedy has shown. You know, I've been pretty excited about the steadiness of Jaden Hardaway. I'm pretty excited that Kendrick Davis has thus far, despite some close calls, seems to be avoiding injury-ish, sort of. At least seems to be managing that injury issue pretty well. And, you know, I honestly think the one really concerning thing was that one Seton Hall game where DeAndre gets in foul trouble and you realize, man, like it was bad when he got in foul trouble the past 2 years. It's really bad when he gets in foul trouble this year. That would be the one thing if I was to flag something that I've seen lately that concerned me, that would be it.
Yeah, I mean, like even the three-point shooting that was getting picked on quite a bit, and rightfully so, earlier in the season is starting to come around. I mean, they shot like 47% from three last night in the win against North Alabama, mm-hmm. and you know, yeah, it's North Alabama, but like still, it's at the same time, it's not nothing. Yeah, they were 8 for 17, 47% for three. That a big part of that was Jonathan Lawson going 3 for 4. From beyond the arc. But yeah, no, I mean, like DeAndre has to stay out of foul trouble. He did a really good job of it against North Alabama. Zero fouls in 18 minutes on the floor, scored 15 points, 7 of 9 shooting in his last two games. He is, 11 of 15 from the floor. I mean, you got to keep, yeah, it's just to your point. Like, if he and Kendrick Davis can stay healthy, stay out of foul trouble, all that stuff, it raises the ceiling of this team significantly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, big game on Saturday at FedEx Forum for the Tigers. 6:30 tip against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is now sitting at, as we mentioned earlier, 6-1. Coming off a loss to Oklahoma in the championship game of the ESPN Invitational. They beat the Stanford team that Memphis beat in the final game of that event. They beat them 72-68 in the opening game, in their opening round game of that tournament. So Ole Miss off to a pretty decent start here this year. Old friend Matthew Morrell is playing very well for them, the Whitehaven product. They have not had, is his name Deshaun Ruffin, I believe?
That's right.
Yeah, so far this year. I don't know if there's any update on his status. Jason, have you heard anything recently?
I can tell you, according to a piece that appeared on redcuprebellion.com, mm-hmm. Let's see, it was posted 2 days ago, so it was posted, what's today? It was posted Tuesday. And the exact wording is there has been chatter. Ruffin will see the court for his first minutes against Memphis on December 3rd. So
interesting. They were saying he was dealing with a bone bruise, and they were saying he might play in Orlando. Never did though. That would be another wrinkle to the matchup, because last year Deshaun Ruffin was their best player. So that would be an intriguing addition for Ole Miss. It's a big game for Memphis in the sense that, again, I don't think a loss is the end of the world. It puts a little more pressure on those other SEC games. But, you know, Memphis lost to a worse Ole Miss team last year and still made the NCAA tournament. I also don't think it's a feather in your cap. You know, I don't think this is going to be a quad one win when all's said and done. I think Ole Miss is going to be a middle of the pack SEC team, among the teams probably on the bubble from the SEC. And to have a win over a fellow bubble team can be helpful come March and selection show time. So it's a game, you know, because it's at home especially, I think you want to win this one. Obviously you want, but like, that's a bad way of putting it. You want to win all of them, but you know what I mean? It's a winnable game of a game that you will be favored in, you know, according to KenPom, Memphis is a 7-point favorite in this game, and it'd be nice to have.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, like, you mentioned the loss last season. You certainly would like to, and even though most of this year's team wasn't even here for that loss, there still are some pieces you probably would like to get. You know, this is a get-back game for the likes of Alex Lomax and DeAndre Williams and Jaden Hardaway. You know, it was, I mean, that was the game. It was in the midst of the 4-game losing streak. It was their third loss in a row, having lost to, previously in that stretch, having lost to Georgia and Iowa State. And they followed it up with, a loss to, Murray State. And it was, you know, that was probably the first time that Penny went national with his comments and concerns, sort of airing out the dirty laundry that was going on behind the scenes to some national media members after that game. So yeah, there's still a little bit of a sour taste going on. And then also, I mean, not only that, it's Matthew Morrell coming to play in his hometown for the first time since going down to Oxford. And also, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, but who did he play for at Whitehaven?
Oh yeah, Faraji Phelps. Didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Memphis assistant. He should know his weaknesses, I think. He's been with Matthew for a long time. He was with Matthew for a long time as his coach. I didn't mention, by the way, Amari Abram, the freshman who's been starting in place of Deshaun Ruffin, doing a nice job, a 6'4 point guard. Like, I think one of the big things in this game against Ole Miss is going to be the size of those Ole Miss guards. How does Memphis handle them defensively with Kendrick and Alex Lomax? Because Morrell is a bigger athletic guy, 6'3", 6'4". And Abram is also listed at 6'4". And then the other side of the ball, you know, how much does that length on the perimeter bother Memphis with their two small guards? I feel like that is going to be a pivotal thing, because we've seen, you know, I know against Stanford, it was a nice sign to see Memphis win with Kendrick Davis having an off night. I don't know if you can beat Ole Miss with Kendrick Davis having an off night. You know what I mean? Like, I think you need him to get going like he normally does. And he's potentially, you know, my guess is they'll put Morrell on him initially. But that's going to be a very, very interesting matchup. And then Ruffin being the wild card if he makes his season debut.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about Ruffin. You know, he only played 14 games last season due to a variety of injuries. Did not play against Memphis. So, you know, that if he plays, he's going to be seeing Memphis for the first time. Memphis is going to be seeing him for the first time. Even if he plays, I mean, it's his first action in quite some time. He had a knee injury that cut his, like, ended his freshman season prematurely. So it's like, it's been a while, you know what I mean? Since he has seen live competition against another team. So, I don't, you know, like, take that for what it's worth. But it's going to be, it's, I don't think you would call this like a notch in your belt type of game.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I mean, like, who's to say once they get Ruffin back, if they stay hot? And,
it would probably be your best win of the year to date. That's, I think, the best way to put it. It'd be your best win of the year to date.
Yeah, I don't see it ever becoming a quad one situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a really nice quad two win if you get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
no.
You
got to win these home games. These are the type. If you get an SEC team to come to Memphis or Power Five, like, you got, these are the types of games you got to win for your resume. You know, like, it's a home game, and it should be a nice crowd. You know, I mean, I think there'll be a really good amount of Memphis fans. I think there'll be some Ole Miss fans there. I mean, I remember 2 years. You know, the last time we had a non-COVID crowd for an Ole Miss game, I guess was the 2019 season. It was the first game, if I recall correctly, the first game DJ Jeffries missed due to injury. Or
that sounds right.
Maybe it wasn't the first game. He maybe later suffered more another injury, but they didn't have DJ Jeffries in the game. And came and what and remember and held off a late Ole Miss rally. That's right. And John Morant was there because of his buddy forget who was on the I'm trying to think here. Who was on that Ole Miss team? Yeah, Devontae Shuler was on that Ole Miss team and Ja he's like childhood friends with John Morant. And so Ja was there. But I think it'll be another good atmosphere and a fun game. And, you know, if nothing else, you have to admit at this point, this Tigers team, I don't know if battle tested is the right phrase, but they've played a lot of meaningful games so far. And I think the way they've performed down the stretch of those games, taking out the Seton Hall game, gives you a lot of reason to believe that as they enter this kind of pivotal stretch of their non-conference schedule, that they can navigate it successfully. You know, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but to me, I suspect, I'm hopeful that they'll go 2-2 or better in these SEC games they have coming up.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we're sitting here talking about the Ole Miss game, the Texas A&M game, the Auburn game that they might be able to steal or whatever, but don't forget, Alabama last season had just beaten Gonzaga and Houston back to back when they came to FedEx Forum. And Memphis was coming off four consecutive losses, and Memphis handed it to the Crimson Tide. It was on their home floor, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I'm about to say it's at home, and you know, that was do you remember that game? Like, that was like, if you could argue in some ways, Memphis played its best game of the year in that game. That or the at Houston game were the two best performances that Memphis team had last season, I thought.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. But going back to the environment, for the last time there were fans for an Ole Miss game in FedEx Forum, they announced 17,800 plus was the announced attendance for that game. Precious scored 25. DJ scored 23. And if I recall,
oh, so DJ did play. DJ did play in that game.
Yeah, it was kind of
okay.
Like
so his, I got my facts mixed up there.
It may have been his last game before he got hurt or something like that. But
I thought he was like sick or something. I don't know, man. Whatever.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, if I remember right, Ole Miss threw up a prayer at the buzzer. And like it almost went in. They did hit a buzzer beating three pointer. Blake Henson hit a buzzer beating three pointer. But obviously it didn't matter because they lost by 1 point. So it needed to be a 4-pointer to keep the game going. But
they made a furious comeback at the end. Memphis almost threw the game away, if I recall correctly.
See, that's another thing that, you know, we keep talking about what's different about this team, you know, and like that's yet like it you never felt comfortable going down the stretch last year, the year before, or you rarely felt comfortable. Even if Memphis was up by 10, you knew the other team was going to make a run. You just knew it. And that's just not it doesn't feel like that is, you know, like it feels like this team is almost like they're very good at avoiding those sorts of contentious moments. Like, anyway, enough of that.
Yeah, it's a new year, and it's starting to heat up now. Now that we're seven games in, big one on Saturday, Memphis Ole Miss 6:30. Jason and I will be in the house chronicling the action. We'll have coverage leading into the game, coverage heading out of the game over at commercialappeal.com. Make sure, if you haven't already, sign up for Jason's text group. If you really want to be in the know about Memphis basketball, you need to be signed up for that text group. Jason's always putting out little nuggets that you can't find anywhere else on there. Check out his Twitter page at Munsley for details on how to join. And yeah, it's, you know, college football regular season's over. Now, now's when hoops really starts to get hot and heavy. So we're looking forward to it. I hope you are too. My thanks to Jason. Thank you for joining us. We will catch you next week, post Ole Miss, post Little Rock, here on the Tiger Basketball Podcast.
The Tiger Basketball Podcast is a production of The Commercial Appeal.